Good afternoon and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. In studio with me is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. If you've got questions for him during our next half hour, you can call us at 496-1999. You can send an email to ask@wbaa.org, or you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. And we have had a multitude of questions come in for you in the last month or so.
Good.
Let me first say, Happy New Year. Thanks for being back
happy
with
New
us.
Happy New Year to you, Stan. Good to see you.
Likewise. And let me get right to those listener questions. I want to try and get through all of these if I possibly can. One of the first ones that came to us was someone said, how much do you feel moped traffic has decreased since new laws have been put in place?
Well, I don't know that we've, you know, a lot of that didn't, it was passed, but it's just most recently took effect where people had to go down to the license branch and register the moped license. So I don't know that it's been actually enacted long enough to have enough data. You know, because what we would do is we'd look at number of tickets that were wrote. We'd look at how many crashes had happened, if that was more or less this year than it was last year, and some of those things. So I don't know that I can tell you that there's been, especially with the winter, but I can tell you that I think the law, it's a good law. It's moving in the right direction for people that ride mopeds and for the other motoring public. But to give you, if I don't think it's been in long enough to make a determination if it's actually up or down.
All right. Clarence has emailed in a question. He writes, is the model used to train the police in the city of Lafayette a community-oriented model that encourages police to work with all communities to reduce crime? And he says, or are Lafayette police being trained in what has recently been termed a, quote, military-style approach, end quote, associated with some police forces recently in national news?
No, the Lafayette Police Department certainly is trained in a collaborative way to work with the community, to do community outreach, to engage the community, to work with neighborhood associations, to work with our schools. We've been doing that for quite some time now with our STATCOM program that we have, our community policing program that we have, our lieutenant of neighborhood outreach that we have, because we know if you, I had mentioned to you, I just left a swearing-in ceremony before I got here today at the police department. And the chief gives a long presentation, about 20 minutes, to the new officers and to their parents and family that's there about the role of the police department in the community and the community's role in helping the police department. And he uses the analogy that the police department is just one spoke in the wheel for fighting crime, keeping a community safe, that it has to be a collaborative community response. And that's why we run the Citizens Police Academy to get people involved. And that's why I think a lot of people lose track of, too, you know, that in Lafayette, we have a civilian merit board that five citizens that make up this police merit board actually hire, fire, promote, and demote. And so at the end of the day, it's citizens from the community that hire the officers after they go through our rigorous standards. We take them up, the citizens interview them, and then they actually pick which ones they think are best for the community. And so really from beginning clear down at the hiring process all the way through the field training program and then continually up through an officer's development, it's about community outreach. It's about using STATCOM. It's about solving problems. And our both chiefs, Chief Roush, the former chief of Lafayette Police Department, and now Chief Flannelly, both heartily believed in that and really worked to engage it. You know, many of the neighborhood association meetings a police officer comes to, and certainly when they're requested, they come and try to spend time with people. So it really is a community neighborhood outreach, and they are not trained in a militaristic style. I mean, obviously, they have to be trained on how to use a firearm. It's a unfortunate reality that could be necessary at some time to protect life and property, and defensive tactics to protect themselves and other innocent people from harm. We have to do that to keep policemen safe and citizens safe, but it is not what I would in any way call a militaristic style training regiment.
Let me follow up on his question a little bit. You were, of course, on the force for a long time yourself. When you saw what had gone on in the Ferguson, Missouris of the world and the Staten Island thing with Eric Garner, and you saw a little bit about the way that those police officers had responded to adversarial situations, And then you thought about the way that police are trained now versus perhaps the time when you were on the force. Did you notice that there was any difference in the way that Lafayette police had might have reacted to those sorts of situations versus the way they might react now? Or would you say that Lafayette has been in this sort of community model for a long time?
You know, I think we've been in a community model for quite some time. If you go back to, I would say, really the early 90s, when we started the Citizens Police Academy, which is was started back in the early 90s, we created our DARE program with Barry Richard, who's now currently the sheriff of Tippecanoe County. I'd say as far back as the early 90s, we were really starting to do this neighborhood outreach, community involvement, getting people more involved in the community, consciously trying to do that. And, you know, I attended as a police officer and a captain many neighborhood meetings, many community functions. In fact, there was a time when we had a little bit more time. The FOP through the police department put on a basketball tournament and sponsored softball teams and, you know, tried to do some things like that. And so I would say, Stan, back to about the early 90s, we've been really engaged in this type of community policing. But now it's gone even further with technology and the use, the ability to collect data and other information. You know, the police department in Lafayette uses, they have a monthly meeting and they call it StatCom. And it's our Donnie Rouse, the former chief, called it cop and pop. And, you know, it's but what it means is, how do we look at problems that the community's having and help them solve that? Look at data-driven decisions, and then how do we reach out to partners in the community to help us solve certain crimes, certain neighborhood problems, whether it's a traffic issue. So I think to answer your question, we've really been working on this, started on this as back in the early 90s.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're having a talk with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski, and we'd love to have your questions. You can call us at 496-1999 and ask your question on the air. You can send it to ask@WBAA.org, or you can tweet it at WBAA News on Twitter. Continuing with some questions we've gotten from listeners, Joan, a couple of days ago, sent an email to us asking, has the mayor performed any gay marriages, and would you if you were asked?
I have not performed any gay marriages. I guess that's a great – I haven't thought about that too much. Nobody has asked me, but, you know, if it's the law of the land and people are allowed to get married, then I would certainly participate in that.
But you haven't had any chance to at the moment?
No, nobody's asked.
Okay. John and Mary Jo sent in this morning. They say, we're a retired couple living in the Sawmill Run subdivision off South 4th Street. They say their comment and question concerns the section of roadway between the intersection of South 4th and Teal Road and Beck Lane. They say it's a pretty ugly section of road, very uninviting entrance to the city. There are no walkways. The grocery store, hardware store, pharmacies, and restaurants that are on or near Beck Lane are only a half mile from their house, they say, but they don't believe there's a safe way to walk there. They ask, are there any plans to make improvements to this section of roadway? If so, please include sidewalks, with an exclamation point.
Okay. Stan, could you just give me the location again, the parameters?
Sure.
Please?
They say they're talking about the intersection of South 4th / Teal Road,
yes,
and Beck Lane.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Well, actually, there are some things in the works. Teal Road from Sagamore Parkway out by the mall all the way down to 4th Street. And then when you turn left to go up to 4th Street is all a state highway. That's not a city street. We don't plow it. We don't pave it. And then it goes all the way up to the new State Road 25, where you turn right to go out to the new 231. All that from 231 to Tippecanoe Mall is maintained by the state of Indiana.
Does that include sidewalks?
They have everything. They have the road and they have the right-of-way. The good news is, as part of our agreement, when they relinquished Sagamore Parkway to the city from Teal Road to the Wabash River to come over here into West Side, that's now the city's road, and that's why we're rebuilding it, the project we have going on. Part of that agreement, too, was they agreed to rebuild Teal Road from the mall all the way down 4th Street Hill, up the hill, and out to the new 231. So that will include sidewalks. It will include a new intersection at 4th and Teal. They tried to get a roundabout in there to see if it would fit to enhance the gateway to the community for us, but it just won't fit with the topography there. So they've got a different design. So they're actually in the process right now of doing the surveying, coming up with preliminary designs. They actually also agreed on 25, or that little girl was hit and killed a couple years ago, that when they're doing this project, they'll put sidewalks along there too. So there is some opportunity down the road that there will be sidewalks and some connectivity to that area.
All right. Just had a question come into us via Facebook. Tracy wants to know if recycling toters are coming to the city anytime soon, and if so, when?
Yeah, we're very much working on that. I am hoping that by this spring you will see a pilot program with recycling toters. We've wanted to do it for several years, but we have to be careful. We have about 22,000 toters that we pick up each week. So we've got to get basically 22,000 more toters to do recycle. If you want to have a garbage recycle toter, which we want to get to, we're looking at a way to do that with lids, just some lids and some advertising that would be on the lid. And then the city would get paid back some of the advertising money per lid. For us to buy that many toters, it's over $1 million. And so we're trying to figure out a way to do it where we know we're not going to be able to buy them all for free, but where the revenue from some advertising on the lids would help offset the cost of buying the new toters. And we're hoping by May that we would be putting out a pilot program with some advertising on the lids to get that done. One thing that's unique about Lafayette, we still do not charge an extra fee for trash. We pick up trash, recycling, leaves, limbs, hot water heaters, chairs, couches, basically about anything you put out, not mattresses and not tires. But other than that, and there's still no additional monthly charge for that. And I want to be able to keep trash service free for our citizens as long as I can. And so that's why we're trying to be creative and innovative how we do this toter, so we can offset some of that pretty steep cost of getting, you know, a second toter for recycling. But our goal is to have a pilot program out by May or the 1st of June. We're close to signing a contract with the company we think can get it done.
There have been several cities. The city of Columbus did this a few years ago. They decided they would go to a tiered system where they offered people three different sizes of toters, and they charged people differently per size. So if you wanted the giant 96-gallon one, you were paying more than if you wanted the standard size. Is this something the city has considered, especially as you need to try to offset that $1 million cost? You could, you know, for instance, you could give people the regular size for free, but if they want the double size, they could choose to opt into that and pay a little extra, something like that?
I mean, I think those are always things to look at. My goal is to try to not charge anybody not take any more money out of the taxpayer's pocket if I can, whether it's through taxes or through paying us for a larger toter. And that's why we're trying to be creative. I mean, I am fairly optimistic this advertising piece is going to work and that we'll be able to offset a significant majority of our cost over time. We'll look into a lease payment plan, get the advertising revenue. And
I got to ask you, who wants to have their business advertised on top of a trash can?
You know what? The company that does it says it's very successful. People love it. I mean, that with modern technology, you can even take your phone out there and scan the different things if you want to get a coupon or something or to see. So it's
there's going to be QR codes on my trash can.
They're very well could be. Yes.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're having a good talk with Mayor Tony Rozworski of Lafayette. Your questions are welcome as well. Send them to ask@WBAA.org. We are at WBAA News on Twitter, and you can call us at 496-1999. Terrence from Lafayette has sent us in a question. He says, with the elderly or disabled using buses for transportation, whose responsibility is it to clear paths from sidewalks to bus doors? He says, the last bout of snow and ice made it hard getting to the bus and dangerous for some.
Talk about the side.
In order to get to the bus doors, in other words, having a cleared walkway to be able to board the bus.
Are you talking? I wonder if he's talking about all the different bus stops throughout the whole city. Well, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, it would be
quite a few of them. Obviously, are in front of people's homes.
People's homes, right? In fact, the vast majority of them are in front of people's homes or some businesses. So it would be up to the individual property owners and the business owners there to make sure their sidewalks are clear in compliance with the ordinance. And then if it's down in front of the new transfer station, obviously that would be up to city bus as people come down there. But I believe I go through by there a lot that those were all shoveled and cleaned and in good shape. So I think he's probably talking about out in the community, and that would be up to individual property owners to make sure those are cleared.
While we're on the subject of the winter weather, there are still some side streets in the city that have some significant ice and snowpack, especially at the intersections from those side streets to more arterial roads. The weather is finally getting to a point where it's up above 10, 15 degrees. Mm-hmm. Salt works a little bit better. I wondered what the process was for sending the salt trucks back out if there wasn't a significant amount of plowing to be done. And there's not. Most of the streets are plowed. But I know I've driven on a few going to and coming from work in the last week or so where you've still got this kind of icy turn in from one street to another. Would you send trucks back out with salt now that it's a little bit warmer? Yeah. And the salt did work a little bit better?
Yeah, the night shift goes out and checks as or if people call in and say, hey, there's a slick corner here at such and such a place, we'll send a truck right out that'll try to scrape some more up and drop some more salt. We do that. And really, we count on the citizens to help us identify those spots if there are still some slick spots. And we've got trucks, ready to do that.
How do people get a hold of you to do that most effectively?
They just call my office or email or call the street department. And you guys are, get out there really quick. And if there's a spot and hit it. We have people that are available to do that. Obviously, some of the drivers, during the day are actually out picking up trash today and picking up limbs and things like that. But we have other people that we pull off to that can run those slick calls if anybody has anything. So please don't hesitate to give us a call. And within an hour or so, we'll have a truck out there and hit it.
The local school corporations, of course, have had some snow days as the winter weather has hit us in the last couple of weeks. And I was driving around with a West Lafayette snowplow driver a week or two ago, and we drove by a school, and it caused me to think to ask you, what's the relationship between the city government and the schools? Because I could imagine a superintendent calling you and going, Mayor, look, we got to have this area right around our schools plowed, and here are the coordinates, and please go there now. Are you able or do you consider giving school corporations any sort of, for lack of a better term, preferential treatment to help them try to avoid snow days?
Yeah, our snow removal plan is based on thoroughfares, arterials, roads in front of schools, then secondary streets, neighborhood streets, courts, and alleys. So the streets that the schools are on are right up there at the top with our main thoroughfares and our main arterials. And we do try to get to them very quickly. Our goal is we try to get the mains and the arterials open as quickly as possible so we could get an ambulance, a police car, a fire truck into as many neighborhoods as we possibly could. That's always our first goal, get those mains and arterials open, and we'll get close to people. And then we go into those secondary streets, collectors. There's a lot of different names for them. And then, into the more neighborhood streets. But the schools are right up there with the arterials and the mains in that first batch of roads we work on.
Do you ever get calls from the school corporation?
You know what? I've been the mayor for 11 years, and I don't recall ever getting a call because I think they know that we, and most of the schools are on arterials. I mean, Vinton's on Elmwood, Miami's on Beck Lane. You have Earhart out there, Edgelia's off of 18th, Earhart's off of 9th Street. So most of the schools are on mains and
fairly
arterials.
Fairly significant roads, yeah.
Roads, yeah.
I wanted to mention to you something that State Rep. Randy Truitt has done. He's filed a bill saying that NDOT should get about $3 million more a year to fund the Hoosier State Rail Line. This is something you and I have talked a lot about on this show. And it seems like the governor is even more supportive now of funding rail in the state. Are you surprised at how this has, at least seemingly, cross your fingers, turned a corner here to where, and granting there's a lot of legislative session to go, there's a lot more maneuvering that'll go into making the budget, but are you surprised at the change in tone, at least as it sits right now?
Well, I'm certainly very pleased. I'm certainly very pleased, and I'd like to applaud Representative Truitt, who's been a big supporter of the rail for us all along. So that's not surprising to me that Representative Truitt has done. He talked to us ahead of time about looking at a bill, some legislation to help us. I think he understands the impact of passenger rail as us being a multimodal community for Purdue students. People want to do research. The young, creative, innovative class, you know, have different modes of transportation. In fact, Amtrak, it's my understanding that Amtrak and Greyhound Bus are working together now in our community with bus tickets and train tickets and trying to help people get to a train station or from a train station on the bus to where they need to go. And so, you know, it's a piece of what we need to keep our community thriving. So I'm very pleased. And yes, again, big thanks to the governor. I appreciate him coming out like that, being that strong about it, and seeing the need, particularly, our community has a lot of need. I'm cautiously optimistic that we're moving in the right direction because I think it's important.
I want to get to a phone call real quick. We've got Rick on the line from Lafayette. Rick, good afternoon. Thanks for calling in. What would you like to ask the mayor?
Hi, fellas. Glad to have this show where we can ask the mayor. I want to first off compliment that the trash pickup in Lafayette is really stellar. Mayor Tony, I think you've done a terrific job of working with the staff to be able to be flexible with holidays and bad weather. And as a homeowner in Lafayette, I really appreciate what you guys do.
Well, thank you. I'll pass that along to the men and women that are out there doing that work every day.
Well, and to that point, I was pleased to see that you have announced your intentions to rerun for the position of mayor, and I think that's terrific.
Thank you.
I do ask this question in reference, and I'll take the answer off the air, but can you elaborate some on how things are doing with the updates at Reilly Plaza? How about Columbian Park and its lagoon, how that's looking? Those seem to be a couple high points in Lafayette where visitors get an immediate opinion of Lafayette, and so it'd be nice for them to be dressed up in those ways. And I'll take the answer off the air.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. Well, thanks, Rick. First of all, thank you very much for your compliments, but I certainly give the credit to the hardworking men and women of the city of Lafayette who are out there every day providing those services. They're a great group of people, and I applaud them. Reilly Plaza, as you've probably seen, we do have a big construction project planned. I was hoping it was going to be last year, but unfortunately the first two bids that came in were unacceptable. It's a combination local project and a project with NDOT through some federal money. So we are going to be working on the Myers Bridge, replacing pavers, replacing the railing. We'll be down in the water working on all the piers. There'll be a new small bridge put in across the railroad tracks to replace the old bridge that's there. There will be two new elevators put in. There'll be a piece of public art established up on the Myers Bridge. On Reilly Plaza itself, all the mechanicals are being updated this year. A new membrane is going to be put in underneath all the pavers. Some of the plumbing is going to be changed. That's not working quite as well after 20 years that it's been there as we'd like. It'll all be painted. About $3.4 million worth of work is going to be done down there. There'll be a handicap ramp built also in case the elevators aren't working. But overall, between design, fees and construction. About $3.4 million will be done down at Reilly Plaza over the next year. So we're very excited about that because you're right, it is an important piece for the community. Columbian Park, this is Laguna Memorial Island. We just had a meeting day before yesterday with the park board. Two firms, Keystone Architecture here in Lafayette and Context firm, have been hired. We're going to be doing the first phase of Memorial Island and the lagoon area and the entrance to that off of Scott Street. It will probably be a three-phase program, but trying to get citizen input right now, but we are working on a design for that, and we hope to have phase one done before Memorial Day of this year, and then next year looking at phase two and phase three. But that project is also underway, and I was very pleased with some of the preliminary ideas that the two firms brought forward to the park board this week after some brainstorming sessions with people. So that is moving forward. But it will be done in phases so we can watch our money, make sure we live within our means. But that project is moving forward.
Rick, thanks so much for your question. I do have one more question that came in just before the show today. John called us and wanted to know, basically, regarding public art, which you mentioned is part of the Reilly Plaza project, he wants to know who gets to choose what's art, what's not, what gets posted in a public space, what gets torn down, those sorts of things. And you've got 90 seconds to explain a complex answer, I know.
Okay. Well, actually, that answer's not real complex. If it's on private property, obviously the building owner downtown gets to do that. But if it is on public property, we have a public arts committee that's administered for us through TAF, the Tippecanoe Arts Federation. So a group of citizens pick the pieces out that go downtown within our budget. So that's one of our biggest hindrances. We'd like to do some more pieces, and we will do some this summer. We'd like to do some pieces that are a little bit bigger and have a little bit more of a wow factor to them. And I think we're going to try to take us to the next level, but we've, you know, needed to be careful with the money, and we have been. But I think we're to the point where, you know, we can do that. We could give the public art committee a little bit bigger range of dollars to come up with some pieces, because there's some really cool pieces out there that would be good for Lafayette, but they're not cheap.
I believe it. Well, I believe you've set a record, Mr. Mayor. We've shoehorned in 8 questions, and thanks to all of our listeners who were able to get all of those in. It's always better when they ask and not me. Their questions are better than mine anyway.
We want to interact with the public, that's for sure.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Tune in next week at this time for our chat with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. You can send your questions in advance to ask@WBAA.org, or you can tweet them at WBAA News, or, of course, you can call in between 12 and 12:30 next Thursday if you've got a question for Frankfort's mayor. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a good rest of your day.